Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. Hello and welcome to our latest episode of Talk Canicross. Are you new to Canicross or are you simply watching on the sidelines thinking about taking the plunge? Well, if you fall into either of these categories, this podcast is definitely for you. Today, we're joined by DogFit trainer Sian Swift, who has been on the team for 4 years now, coaching her popular Canicross classes in the Leeds area. We wanted to invite Sian along because she has tons of experience helping people who are both new to Canicross and to running. So she not only has the knowledge and experience to teach people and their dogs to Canicross, but she understands some of the nervousness or concerns some people may have taking on a brand new sport. So today we're going to take the most common questions or concerns we receive from our customers about Canicross and address them head on, hopefully leaving you with the confidence to head out onto the trails with your dog. So first of all, I'd really like to welcome Sian. It's so lovely to have you on the show. Hello.
Hello.
it's really lovely to have you on, and we've been trying to get you on an episode for ages. And I know you've got lots of really good information to share with our listeners as well. But everyone listening, could you just run through a bit about your background, how you got into running and Canicross, and obviously about your dogs as well?
Yeah, sure. So I've been running my business for 4 years. I am called Swift Paws UK. Started off as a hobby business just because I love dogs, and then it's turned out into a full-time thing, which includes dog walking, pet sitting, dog training, Canicross and man training. And when I set up the business, I had a vision in my mind about being a dog personal trainer or a dog PT. And that's when I was looking up at things, I found out about Canicross and dog fit, and that's kind of how I got into things, really. But in my younger years, I did a lot of sports coaching, so I think that's kind of carried across a lot as well.
Brilliant. It sounds like you're very busy. And obviously I mentioned it just now, and I know you've got the background in running as well as Canicross, hence mm-hmm. getting into the sport, and that's yeah. I think a double bonus for a lot of your clients. And so I'm curious to know, you know, how do you approach that aspect? If you've got somebody who's brand new to running that comes to you, but they also want to learn how to Canicross with their dog.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, everybody that's new to Canicross, whether you're a marathon runner or brand new and just walking, whatever, like we always start with an intro and we take things from there. And people that are new to running, we often get into a Couch to 5K program. And what's quite nice about that is when you start out running, it can be hard to get going when you're doing it on your own. So being able to run with your dog makes it more fun. And then being able to do it as part of a group where you're encouraging each other makes it a lot easier as well, and make sure you commit to the program and go all the way through. So yeah, if you're completely new to running, then it's a great place to start, and it's a great place to start building up your fitness as well as training your dog.
And do you help people with that if they're a bit nervous about running? You know, it's obviously that's part of the whole Couch to 5K, but do you support them in additional ways to sort of, before they literally just put the kit on and start running, are there extra things that you do for those people that have never run before?
Yeah, sure. So as well as breaking down running technique over the weeks from literally breathing, which sounds like the most obvious thing in the world, right? But when you're giving verbal cues to your dog while you're Canicrossing and trying to breathe at the same time, like you have to really get back down to basics and think about when to breathe in and when to breathe out. You know, body posture, what you're doing with your arms and legs, everything. We break all that down. But actually, for a lot of people, it's like a mental barrier. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And that's something that, you know, I can relate to as well. So we also talk about using mindfulness. So whether that's counting how many green things you can see, or counting backwards from 572 in threes or whatever, just to start cutting out that negative voice in your head and start believing in yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, that's such a good approach. I mean, we can all remember the very first time that we Canicrossed. And even, you know, I remember that I thought I'd just go along to see whether the kit fits, but I'm not a runner. So it's those first steps and people having the confidence. I know that when Gal and I are doing shows, we always get the same familiar questions when people approach us. You know, they've heard about the sport, but they've really got some fears, and we call them the common myths because they come up so often. But they're all valid questions, and we wanted to sort of cover some of those on today, and hopefully reassure some people listening that it is a sport that really anyone can do and join into. And you've got years of experience, so we thought we'd chat about those common myths of canicross. So let's start with one of the main questions that we always get asked is, I'm not a runner and I'm not fit enough to keep up with my dog. How do you tackle that one?
Well, even the fastest runners that can run marathons, I'm like, don't try and keep up with your dog. That's never going to get you anywhere, right? And like, even in intros, we start walking, because if you're going as fast as you can, you're not thinking about what's ahead of me. Am I turning? Is my dog going to turn? Is there a dog across the way from me? So we start walking and build up the space pace over time. And like I said, when you've got the right kit on, like, it just makes it a lot easier as well. So I always tell people, don't try and keep up with your dog. It's about teaching your dog to go at your pace, because the idea of canicross is your dog helps you to run better at your pace. You're not just trying to catch it. I mean, you're on a highway to nowhere trying to catch a dog running.
Yeah, I think that's something that people think, that they've got to run as fast as their dog.
No.
And also in that very first session that they do, you know, they're going to be walking, then not even going to be running. So
And also as well, it's like the dogs get tired, because the thing about canicross is it is running with your dog, but it's more than that, because they're pulling out front on a bungee line, and more importantly, they're using their brain a lot. So you tell them when to go, how fast to go, when to slow down, when to turn, when to overtake. And that's mentally quite tiring for them. So I tend to find, even for people that are amazing runners, you've got to slow the owner down, because the dog will just get too tired mentally.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And I mean, sometimes we also get asked, you know, if you've got, there's two of you running the same, want to run the same dog. Oh, is it, or can I run? You know, my dog's used to running with me, but what if my partner wants to run with them and they're a different pace? And that, to your point, if the dog is trained to sort of run more to your pace and listen out for commands, then that shouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't be that if your partner is a 5 minute mile runner and you're a 10 minute mile runner, that doesn't mean the dog's going to just head off at that, you know, the faster pace. So definitely
For me, one of the most important things to get the grasp of early on is speed. So when to get them to go quicker and when to get them to go slower. And like, don't try and do anything more than that to begin with, because unless you've got that under control, you won't be able to do it safely. Get that under control and your dog will run really nicely with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it's similar to the first point about not being fit enough to keep up my dog. Up with my dog. But a lot of people, we hear this time and time again, when they watch canicross, and obviously you see all these great videos, especially of the pros running, and they're going super fast, hurtling down hills and sort of leaping around everywhere, and they've got super fit up looking dogs, and then their thought is, I'm going to be like that with my dog. I'm going to have to try and keep up with them. But then there's also that fear of being pulled over because of the pace. Mm-hmm. And I know you sort of covered that, but I think it's quite an important question, because, you know, Janetta and I, we get asked that often, don't we? And it's, you know, it's a very common question that people are going to think that that dog is just going to start pulling and then you're just going to go flat on your face, where the reality is it's not like that at all.
And I've never seen that. That's never happened. Touch wood, that's never happened. You know, but I always say to people, instead of just going off and doing it on your own and not really knowing what you're doing, like, you wouldn't just get into a car and drive without having any lessons, right? Like, if nothing else, go and do an intro with a decent instructor and learn the basic cues or commands or whatever you want to call them, and learn how to do it safely, and you enjoy it a hell of a lot more, and it'll avoid things like that. Whereas if you just head off on your own and you're not wearing the right kit, and that includes trainers with the right tread, then you're not set up for success, right? So go and see the right person, get the right advice, and then it'll be absolutely safe for you. It's not a problem at all.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I mean, we always say to people, you are the one that's in control of the speed, not your dog. Your dog is not the one that's going to dictate what you're going to do. And it's very much about learning those fundamentals. And as you said, from the right source as well. But when you're running your classes and or you've got someone that might come along that maybe has even tried Canicross on their own, they might have bought some kit it's not working really well because the dog isn't learning off other dogs. It's not really understanding what's required. But if someone says that, you know, my dog doesn't pull, because that might be a typical thing if someone started on their own without running with a group. How do you tackle that?
Well, I start people off walking and let's see. So let's go, right? So we have a cue or command that we use to get the dog to learn to pull out front. So we start off walking out with me walking in front of the person, encouraging the dog to pull, and then giving them lots and lots of praise when they're doing the right thing. That's a good place to start. But also, it's sort of the converse of what you teach your dogs most of the time. We often make people teach the dogs to loosely walk. And now we're expecting all of a sudden that they'll just know, because they've got this new kit on, that they're supposed to be pulling out front. That's not really how it works. Okay. So you've got to train them that this is what I want you to do when we're doing this thing. So like a ritual or a routine when you're setting out with Canicross of we're taking off the dog walking kit and we're putting on the Canicross kit, you know, and I'm giving you a specific cue or command so you know what you're doing, and I'm praising you when you're doing the right thing so you know and doing a good thing. That's always a good start. But a lot of people, that there's common pitfalls, and it can be as simple as, because you want to look at your dog and you look down, that encourages your dog to look up, which is a common thing when you're doing loose lead walking, right? But by doing, when your dog looks up, they physically can't pull out in front of you because they're looking at you. But you can't often see that if you're doing it on your own. You know, that's why it's so important to reach out to good instructors so they can observe you and give you feedback, because there might be these little things that you're just missing that could really easily solve the issue. And another common thing is rewarding or reinforcing your dog at the wrong time. So it's like saying good when they're by your side. Well, then think, oh, I'm supposed to be by your side. Yeah. I'm not supposed to be pulling out front. And again, what's really useful is for someone to be able to watch and observe and give you that feedback and help with that timing. And with those few simple little tweaks, it can make life a lot easier for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. You were talking about the dog recognizing the difference between Canicross kit and the lead. We had another episode with a gun dog trainer, and she said it's a bit like a uniform. The dog knows which uniform it's got on, and it knows what it needs to do. So through regular training.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, on the subject of kit as well, I mean, we something we often get asked is, can you just rock up and just run with your dog? You know, simple as that. And they just have their existing harness. It could be a walking harness. We won't go into any particular brands right now, but you know, that's a very common question as well. People just think, oh, I've been out running with my dog before, holding a lead. This is just, you know, way to do it hands-free. It's as simple as that. I know you come across that question, don't you, Charlotte? I think it's obviously an education, but sort of how do you tackle that one? Because obviously you don't want to offend people, but I think it's very important that people understand, you know, what the difference is between regular walking harnesses and Canicross kit. And that's not anyone's fault. It's just obviously it's an education, because Canicross is very brand new to a lot of people, and it's but it is a recognized sport, and it's important that, you know, they use the right equipment.
Absolutely. Like, you wouldn't wear a pair of stilettos to go for a marathon run, right? You know, so it's horses for courses, right? You have to have the right kit and set yourself and your dog up for success and doing it safely. Okay, so Canicross is different to a dog just running by your side. They're pulling out front, so you need to make sure you've got a harness that is pulling on the right place on them. It's not getting around their neck. You want to make sure you've got an appropriate bungee lead, Canicross bungee lead, so that when they're pulling, it's nice and safe and it's not hurting you and it's not hurting them. And another thing that I commonly get is people go online and buy kit without getting any advice, and they tend to get completely the wrong thing because it's the cheapest thing on Amazon or whatever else. And I often tell people, don't buy anything before your first session. I've got a bag of kit and we'll talk through it, because it's not always the most expensive kit or the fanciest kit that's right for you. And you don't know until you've tried it on, right? Yeah. You know, so go and try on some kit, get some advice from someone that actually knows what they're on about, and then invest your money in the right stuff for you that will last, and then you're far better. And like I say, it's not always the fanciest or most expensive, right? It's about what suits your dog. And that's the breed, the shape of your dog, the age of your dog, your size, all these kind of different things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best kit is the one that your dog runs the best in.
Yeah.
You're comfortable in. So another question we get asked a lot, and, you know, somebody that might have an anxious or reactive dog, you know, they're reluctant to come to classes because they're nervous about how the other dog is going to react in the class. Sometimes they're a bit embarrassed that their dog is going to show them up because it's going to be barky. And, you know, at Dog Fit, we really encourage people to bring their any dog along because the dogs are on the lead. But how have you handled that myth before?
So whenever somebody starts running with me, they need to have done an intro for another instructor or do one with me. And that's so I can assess that they're using the right kit, they're doing it safely, they know what they're doing. And so I can assess the dog's needs so that when they come to join a group, they're set up for success. Like we've talked about before, you know, rather than someone rocking up and they've got an issue with their dog or they've not got the right kit and it's not going to be safe, right? And by doing that one-on-one, you get to know the owner, you get to know the dog, and you get to say, okay, come to this group, that'll work really well for you, maybe avoid that one, that's not your kind of thing, and that's absolutely fine. But the good thing about Canicross is, like I said, because the dogs are on a lead and you can spread out and all this kind of stuff, it makes it a lot easier. And like, I'm all about including dogs wherever possible. You know, I have a reactive dog, so I understand that life, you know, and what it can feel like to not be able to go along to stuff, and it can feel quite isolating at times. So I completely understand that. So wherever possible, in as safest way as possible, we try and make it inclusive. And it's got to be safe for the person with the reactive dog, but it's also got to be safe for everybody else, so everybody feels comfortable.
And I was only going to say, I've got a reactive dog, so and I know completely what you're saying, and Canicross was the best thing for him. I mean, I used to see a complete change in his personality. He could actually run alongside other dogs because they're not facing each other head on. And I know we've had countless stories from customers of ours through all our, you know, Dog Fit trainers that you know, they've had really positive experiences of having their dog welcomed. I mean, there's one particular lady, it's going back a few years, that she was practicing, she was in tears that the fact that she was able to run her dog, because she said before that she would go out early in the morning. I mean, I know that, I've been there, I still do that sometimes for walks, but you go out really early or really late and trying to avoid people and dogs. So it's not great for her, is her mental health either, because you're feeling isolated, not just the dog, and the dog's not getting socialized. But this is a really controlled, positive way to do it. And yeah, and there's lots, and we always say to our customers, you're always welcome, your dog's always welcome. Just speak to your Dog Fit trainer. As you said, Sian, it's about understanding what their needs are, a bit about the dog, and then you let the rest of the group know, so you respect their space. And every dog's different. Some dogs, you know, that anxiety might not be obvious, but it's just about giving them the space to get comfortable with the other dogs, and it's a great outlook for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and they can run in a muzzle as well. We've obviously got a blog post on that, so that sometimes reassures people. So one of the other myths that we always get asked about is, my dog's too old, you know, I'm too old, you know. I mean I myself was an older runner when I first started. I'd never run a step in my life, and then suddenly discovered this sport. So what do you say when people are asking about their age, their dog's age?
About their age, it's about get out and live life, I think. You know, like I said, Canicross, and you girls got Cani trekking, which is basically doing it walking, but it doesn't have to be running, it can be walking pace, and that's still amazing for both you and your dog, because you've got dogs getting that mental stimulation, it's getting the physical activity, and you're getting the physical activity, you know, and you walk your dog anyway, right? So it's just a different way of doing it, and you're getting more bang for your buck, you know. And then just take it from there. You know, I think a lot of people that are new to running, where they go wrong and they try and do too much too soon, you know. And even if you're doing a couch to 5k program, I found that week easy, I'm going to jump forward 3 weeks, and you're like, don't do that. Or, you know, don't do the 9 weeks worth of runnings in 3 weeks and give yourself an injury, it's stupid, right? just, you know, focus with your instructor, get some advice from them and they can help you. And a lot of the time it's a mental battle. You think, oh, I'm too old, or I'm too overweight, or I'm too unfit, or whatever. And I feel all those things sometimes, right? Yeah. Right. But actually it's just the internal voice in your head, and you're absolutely fine to do it. Just go at your pace. Don't try and impress people. Don't try and run up with other people. Go at your own pace and meet your own goals. And that's the way you'll get the most enjoyment and most value out of it. And with your dogs, well, obviously it depends on the age and depends on the needs. If you're unsure, ask your vet. That's what they're there for. Get advice from your vet, you know. But like I said, you can always start walking and build it up from there, and just do what works for you and your dog. And that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, and vets are quite positive, because, you know, there's a lot of kind of dogs that aren't moving maybe as much as they should do. And this is such a great activity that you can do together. And as we've said, as long as you take it in small steps and you're considerate of how old your dog is when you start, and everything is just adjusted for the dog. So,
yeah,
I think the vets are very, very keen for the dogs to be more active.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the fact that with Canicross, they're running in a straight line, and it's much better on their joints than twisting and turning when people are in a park throwing a ball countless times.
Yeah,
I always get to our vet and, you know, physios for our dogs that, you know, Canicross is one of the things that you'd rather introduce before other things, you know, like I say, like throwing a ball. So it can be really, you know, good for them. So we talked about whether you or your dog are too old, but there's always the size of the dog as well. I always find it quite fascinating, because I've seen so many different breeds of dogs doing Canicross, from little Dachshunds and Westies, you know, right through to big Alsatians and Ridgebacks. But often people think that the dog's got to have a certain look or a shape about it, because especially as, you know, the dogs that the pros are running with are certain crossbreeds, sort of probably you'd say built for the sport. But we always say any dog, any person is welcome. But I'm just curious to know if you've ever come across that yourself, Sian, in your classes, and what type of dogs have you come across? You know, what's the smallest dog? What's the biggest dog?
The smallest was an Italian greyhound, no bigger than a tiny weenie handbag, right? And it was one of the best ones. You know, it doesn't matter what size your dog is, right? If they're wearing the right kit, yeah, and you teach them the right cues or command, or whatever you want to call it, so they know what they're doing, they'll love it, you'll love it, it doesn't matter, you know. And yes, certain breeds are probably more bred for doing it, you know, just like they are. But like, I've got a French bulldog cross, right? She loves it. She absolutely loves it. In fact, I came to be her owner because I used to Canicross run her for her owner, because she's reactive and her owner couldn't handle it. And that's how she got to be my doggy. You know, it doesn't matter, right? At the end of the day, if your dog's having fun and you're having fun, your dog's made for the sport. And I think there's common misperceptions in dog sports, whether it's scent work and man training, that it's got to be a Cocker Spaniel, it's got to be this, that, or the other. Or with running sports, it's got to be a Husky or, you know, Pointer or whatever. No, absolutely not. If your dog loves it and you're loving it, get on and have a good time.
And you just can really tell, can't you, with the dogs?
Yeah.
But that little Italian greyhound, did he really pull then?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a little rocket.
A little pocket rocket.
What harness did you have him in? What harness did he have?
I think it was a tiny zero DC harness. I love a zero DC harness. I think they're fabulous. I recommend them for all sorts of different dog sports. I think they're really good. But again, it depends what dog you've got.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a Husky or a German Shepherd, then a non-stop's fantastic. Yeah. But you don't want a massive, really reinforced non-stop harness and a tiny Italian greyhound. There's no point.
Although they do make them quite small. I don't know if they go down that small. But as you said, you know, the more technical harnesses don't suit even the big dogs that can be put off by having to put their legs through and all sorts of things. So it really is the one that fits the dog, really.
Yeah, if what fits a dog and what suits you and their needs and whatever else. And there's a wide range of ones available, you know. Like I said, the fanciest one with all the bells and whistles, yeah, that's great for a massively strong dog that's like a sledging kind of breed dog. brilliant, that's exactly what they need. But for a lot of dogs, that's not what they need, and actually it can almost be aversive to them and put them off it because it's too structured. So you've got to get what suits your dog, and before you go and splash your cash on something, ask someone that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, and try some as well.
I think because there might be some people listening to this thinking zero to see non-stop, what's this, what are they talking about? So yes, because obviously we have, there's a massive range of harnesses, and yeah, we always say if you can get to a dog fit trainer to try some out and get recommended, and we have a harness consultation form on our website as well if you can't get to a dog fit trainer, that you can, we can help people with. But yes, it can be quite overwhelming, can't it, the choice out there. But the, what's great is there is something for everyone and every dog, but you've just got to have a sense of what's best for them based on their size and how they run and their strength, etc. So,
and the breed, so it's not, breed, it's not even just the size, but where's their windpipe, right? You know, and how does that fit within the harness? And like, I could cry sometimes when people contact me and they've already spent £100 on kit and it's completely wrong, you know, because they've gone on Amazon or they've gone on some other site and you know, they've not had any advice. Like, just save your time, save your money, and go and ask dog fit or your instructor, you know, get the right advice, and then you'll get kit that fits your dog, makes them feel really comfortable, and will last you a long time.
Yeah, and it's the cost of a pair of trainers, even the basic, you know, our dog fit starter kit, you know, it's less than the cost of a pair of good trainers. So and you're good to go. So what do you say when people say, I just haven't got the time to learn how to canny cross, I don't think I'm going to fit everything in my schedule? How do you tackle that question?
Well, I think the brilliant thing about canicross is that you have to walk your dog every day anyway, right? It's, you just replace that walk with canicross if you want to. That's how you can, you don't have to spend more time doing it. You know, just mix it up a little bit, you know, and like, if, but at the same time, if you don't feel like it's your time to start, you know, don't put that pressure on yourself because you won't enjoy it. You know, do it when you feel ready to make that change and give things a go, and then commit to it and have a really good time. But like, you know, just, you can, it's such a flexible sport because you can do it on your own or you can do it as part of a group, whatever. You know, all I say is one, get that advice for getting going and then take it on how you want to.
Yeah, that's really sound advice.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm just curious, Sean, because obviously hearing all about this, and obviously you can cite all these examples from your own clients, but when you actually get asked all these questions and then you see them, you know, your clients out running with their dog, having the best time, you know, you must get such a kick out of it yourself that you've helped these people. I mean, it must be amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, my being different instructors will have different specialisms. You have some people that are competing on a national level and that'll be their thing. I love to get people going. Now, whether that's people that are fantastic at running but have never done canicross, or people that haven't done canicross or running or whatever, and just giving them the tools they need to do it safely and believe in themselves, and also have more of an understanding of working together with their dog. I think that's what's so wonderful about canicross. It's not just you running and your dog running at your side and you're running together. Well, yeah, you're both running and that's great and you're getting some exercise. Like, you're bonding together because you're working as a team. Like, your dog's your engine and you're the driver steering the engine and where it needs to go. So it's just lovely to see people progress, and they're not just getting better at canicross, but just like learning some basic running technique. Like, nobody teaches you this unless you go to a running club, which not many people do. You know, not many people got taught it at school. You know, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to look after the body after they've exercised, you know, to recover. And therefore, if they don't get the advice, you get injuries and that puts you off doing it, so you don't do it and you get into this vicious cycle. So it's just like seeing people believe in themselves, helping people learn how to take care of themselves before and after exercise, and just seeing them enjoy it is fantastic.
Yeah, that big smile when someone and they're just running as a partnership, it's amazing.
I get a lot of people that have tried to do like a couch to 5k on their own and have never gotten anywhere. And that just increases that negative voice and inside the head and makes them feel worse about themselves. When actually, like, doing it on your own is really tough.
Yeah.
Right? It's a great thing to do, but it's a lot tougher because who's there to cheer you on? Who's there to motivate you? Whereas if you're doing it with the help and support of someone that can give you advice, and with a group of people that are also going through the same things as you, and you can share experiences, you don't feel alone, and you're like, oh yeah, I can do it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I love the social aspect of Canicross as well, because like you said, everyone's welcome. There's no, you know, no pressure. You don't have to be feel self-conscious. You're not, and it's very different to sort of when you start running and you go on the roads and all the cars are whizzing past and you feel really self-conscious. Or out in, you know, in off-road with a group of like-minded people, and that's one of the other things about it. Obviously, you're building the bond with the dog, and you're learning. You'll get to, you know, sport together and getting fit. But I think that's very special, that the social side for people's physical and mental health.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's been brilliant, Sean. And you know, we know that you've helped so many people, and just listening to you, you're, you know, really knowledgeable and encouraging. So anyone in Leeds, you know, you're our dog fit trainer up there, really, you know, don't hesitate. And we'll put Sean's link to Sean's page in the show notes below. You know, as a final question, and we always ask this to all our guests on the show, what's the one piece of advice would you give someone who's never canicrossed before but considering taking it up?
Go and get an intro with an instructor who can teach you how to do it properly from the start and how to do it safely. The last thing I want is people going out there trying it and get themselves in situations they don't need to be in, because canicross is a wonderful, safe, fun sport to do once you know what you're doing. Okay. Yeah. And like I said before, you wouldn't just, if you didn't know how to drive, you wouldn't just get into a car and drive a car, right? It's the same kind of thing. And like, if you know, by going to an instructor and getting advice, you'll get more out of it. Your dog will get lots of mental stimulation. You'll learn how to do it safely. And then you've got the tools to go away and have the best time ever.
Great advice. Great advice. Well, I think we've tackled pretty much, you know, majority of myths that come up, the questions that come up. And hopefully we've helped address those for anyone who's in any doubts. But as Sean said, give it a go. You know, it's about having fun. Worst case is you canny trek with your dog and you know you hands-free walk with them, and if you're not ready to get running straight away. But hopefully we've helped answer some people's questions and concerns about getting started, and it motivates you to give it a go. But yeah, I just want to say a big thank you, Sean. It's been wonderful to have you on the show, and thanks ever so much for sharing all your stories with us.
Absolute pleasure.
Brilliant. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canicrossing.